Lord, we thank you for this time you've given us so far. Lord, we recognize that your Holy Spirit was here and is still here with us. And I just pray, Lord God, that you may teach us today, Lord God. I pray that you use me, Lord God, to teach your people. And I pray, Lord God, that it's you, Holy Spirit, that ministers to us today. I pray that we learn from your word. And I pray that we can apply this word into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today I want to speak about the importance of the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading from John chapter 14, 15 and 16 recently, I see that Jesus describes who this Holy Spirit is. Jesus describes to his disciples the one who is to come. So if we can go to John chapter 14, I'll be focusing mainly on John chapter 14 today. I'll look at other scriptures, but mainly I want to look at John chapter 14 from verse 16 onwards. So I'll just read from verse 16. I'll read verse 16, 17 and 18. So we gain an understanding of what Jesus said to his disciples. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So what is this Holy Spirit? Who is this Holy Spirit? The helper that Jesus describes in the Greek is the paraclete or the parakletos, which means called to one's aid. So Jesus is saying this person will come to your aid. How is this Holy Spirit going to come to your aid? That's what I want to look at today. What is important about this Holy Spirit for you? And as Christians, why do we need the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit enables us and aids us to do the will of God. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit enables us and aids us to do the will of God. So when it says the helper, or when it says the paraclete, this paraclete is there to come to our aid to do the will of God. So we cannot do the will of God unless we have the Holy Spirit present in our lives. Now the first thing I want to look at is our sanctification. If we go quickly to 1 Thessalonians, I apologize if I take you to a lot of scriptures today. I do want to base it on John chapter 14, but we will look at other scriptures. So if we can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." I want to stay on that first part. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So, as I said, the Holy Spirit comes to aid us to do the will of God. This is one of them, our sanctification. So, what is our sanctification? Sanctification, it says, is God's will for us. How are we sanctified? Sanctification is through the Spirit. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, that we are sanctified by His Spirit. Our sanctification is God basically taking us out. God basically calling us, taking us apart from the world to be holy in Christ Jesus. It is our holiness in Christ Jesus. Not our holiness through good works. I don't want us to get that wrong. But our holiness through Christ Jesus. And it is the Spirit who sanctifies us. So we need the Holy Spirit for our sanctification. This is heavily linked to us being a new creation. Why do I say that? The Bible tells us, as we might all know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that in Christ we are now a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So we are all a new creation. But as I said, the sanctification is done by who? The Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. So what I'm saying is, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be a new creation. Do we understand? Yeah? Great. So, I want us to understand when do we receive this Holy Spirit to sanctify us? When do we receive this Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us in John chapter 20, if we can quickly go to that, John chapter 20, verse 22. This is the moment that the disciples received the Holy Spirit. It wasn't in Acts chapter 2, as you might think. But you'll see here, in John chapter 20, verse 22, what does Jesus say? It says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, he breathes on the disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. This was after the resurrection. So my understanding from this is that the moment you become a believer, the moment, as Romans 10:9 says, the moment you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the moment that you believe in your heart and you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. New breath is breathed into your life. What do we know about God's breath? God's breath, in most scripture, in the Word of God, results in new life. If we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the first time we see this breath of God, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God creates the first man, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Life came through what? The breath of God. Okay, and we see Jesus, what does he do? He breathes on the disciples. Every time the breath of God comes into your life, it is signifying new life. Yeah? Do you understand? So it results in a new life. That is why we are now a new creation. That is why we have been called out. And this is why, to do the will of God, we need the Holy Spirit. So, the second part, if we see John 14 again, what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There's quite a lot of things here that we need to, you know, unpack. So, the first thing, let us start with the fact that it says the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the Holy Spirit is invisible. We cannot see the Holy Spirit physically. In the physical realm, in the physical body that we're in, we cannot see the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. And this is why the world cannot receive him. When you speak to atheists today, why is it that they don't believe in God mainly? What do they ask for? What do they ask for? See, bring me evidence, show me. Why can't God come down here right now? Why can't you show me God? I'm sorry, I can't. My word of God says that he's invisible. The Holy Spirit, you cannot see him. But it says the world will not know him as well. But who will know him? It says, but you know him. So the disciples of the Lord, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, know the Holy Spirit. So when the world doesn't know, imagine the world doesn't see and they don't know. We don't see, but we know. You see the difference? Great. This is why he's rejected by the world. Now notice how the Holy Spirit is in many places at once. It says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Two different things. Will be with you and will be in you. Now, I don't want us to look at the Holy Spirit and think the Holy Spirit is a human being. Because a human being, I can't be in someone. Yeah? And I can't be with them at the same time. And I can't be in all of you and also in the atmosphere and also in France. Yeah? And also in Johannesburg and also somewhere else. No, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit is the omnipresence of God. He is and can be everywhere. Do we get that? So the Holy Spirit is and can be with you and in you. But the Holy Spirit can also be in the atmosphere as well. Why is it we say we welcome the Holy Spirit sometimes? We say, come Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He resides in us. Think about it. The Holy Spirit is the omnipresence of God. He is our connection with God. It is via the Holy Spirit that we can connect. Let me give you an example. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, you don't have to go to it. A lot of us know this scripture, verse 23 and 24, when Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman, he tells her that no longer will, you know, there be worship on this mountain or that mountain, but instead, God is looking for the true worshippers who worship in what? Spirit and truth. Let us look at the title of the Holy Spirit. How does Jesus call him in verse 17? He calls him the Spirit of Truth. Do we see a resemblance here? We need the Holy Spirit to worship God truly. For true worship to occur, the Holy Spirit needs to be present. Do we agree? Let's say amen if we agree. Yeah? Great. So the Holy Spirit needs to be present. For true worship to occur, the Holy Spirit needs to be present. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, you don't have to go to it again. I'll just quickly tell you what it says. It says that we worship by the Spirit of God. So, worship is one form of connection. But every time you want to connect with God, the Holy Spirit needs to be present. So I speak to those who find it difficult to connect with God. For those who don't find it difficult to connect with God, I'm speaking to all people today. The Holy Spirit must be present. The third thing is that the Holy Spirit, in verse 26, if we go, making a little jump here, but Jesus says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So what did he say? He said that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. When you read this word of God, and when you study this word of God, if the Holy Spirit isn't present, and there is no divine intervention, it will be a normal history book, just like the ones you can find in the library. It will have no significance. There will be no difference with this book and another book. Let me explain why I say that. The Holy Spirit has to be present. If you look at the disciples, they saw Jesus healing. They saw Lazarus being raised from the dead. They saw the water turn into wine. They saw so many miracles. They even saw him being resurrected. They saw him after he resurrected. But in all of this, without the resurrection, in all of this, they still forsook him. That's what the Bible says. It was only John who was there at the foot of the cross out of all his disciples. They all ran away. Peter denied him. Peter said, I don't know who you're talking about. It's not me. I don't know the man. He denied Jesus, even though he saw. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you guys understand what that means? He saw Elijah and he saw Moses and Jesus speaking to each other. And he still denied Jesus. He still did that. This is the importance of the Holy Spirit that I'm trying to get you to understand. So the Holy Spirit, you see a different Peter now in Acts. It's a completely different, sometimes I think it's a different character. Honestly, I think it's a completely different person. Because it is a different person. The Holy Spirit has completely changed him. And you see his boldness now. It's completely different. When he heals, when he speaks, it's so different. As bold as he is, he uses his boldness now correctly because of the Holy Spirit. So it says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. So we cannot receive revelation of spiritual things unless the Holy Spirit intervenes. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, if we can quickly just turn to that. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. This is a prayer that Paul is praying for the people of Ephesus. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. You see, the knowledge of our God will only increase, our knowledge will only increase, our knowledge of God will only increase if the Holy Spirit intervenes. That's the only time. So what does that tell us? Out of all the things that I've said so far, it shows that we need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, spiritually, we're dead. Spiritually, we are actually sleeping. The Bible tells us, and Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit will be in you and dwell in you. That means he will reside in you. That's where he will dwell. He will live in you. The Bible also tells us that we have been sealed with him unto the day of redemption. This is the same Holy Spirit we're speaking about. But this Holy Spirit is a person. And I want us to understand what that means. This Holy Spirit can be grieved. This Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. David in Psalms 51 pleads to God, says, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So, the Holy Spirit as a person has a personality. What our actions can tame the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit may live inside of you, but your actions could quench the Holy Spirit. Do you know what you quench? Do you know what can be quenched, guys? What can be quenched? What do you say? Thirst. Yeah, but in fire. Fire is what is quenched, isn't it? I was hoping you'd give me that answer, but you know. Okay, so fire is what is quenched. There's another version that says, do not extinguish as well. It's mainly fire that can be quenched. What does that mean? If you extinguish a fire, what happens to the fire? You put it out. So the Holy Spirit's activity in your life, you might not see it. The convictions that you used to feel, you might not feel no more. Why? Because you may have quenched the Holy Spirit. You may have grieved the Holy Spirit. If we understand, can we say amen? Amen. Great. I don't want to lose anyone today. This is such an important topic. So, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. What I'm trying to say to you is, as I said to you, without the Holy Spirit, we are spiritually asleep. We are spiritually dead. Natty was giving us an example a few weeks ago. He said about the SIM card. He said, basically, you can have a SIM card inside the phone, just like the Holy Spirit is inside of you, but if the phone is not turned on, the SIM card is useless. You're not activating the SIM card, there's no point. So, I want us to understand, this Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. This Holy Spirit is eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, is the first verse of the Bible. The Elohim in the Hebrew. Elohim is actually a pluralized word for God. So we see the first time the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God, we see he's within the Godhead in the beginning, creating the universe. The second verse then says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. We see the Holy Spirit again. It's the same Holy Spirit that is living in you today. The same Holy Spirit that spoke to all the prophets, the same Holy Spirit that told people to prophesy, the same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that is in you and resides in you today. I want you to understand what that means. Imagine what the Holy Spirit has been doing from the beginning. Everything you see in this Word of God that the Holy Spirit has been doing, he can do in your life. Guys, I want you to understand what this means. You know, Jesus, he relied on the Holy Spirit. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit. When he was on this earth, he was flesh, right? It was the power of the Holy Spirit that was working. When you see miracles, it was the Holy Spirit. You guys are silent. You guys agree? Yeah? Great. So what I'm trying to say is, if Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit, how can we not rely on the Holy Spirit? How can we not rely on the Holy Spirit? What I'm trying to say is, if you're not feeling the same convictions, if you're not really recognizing the Holy Spirit in your life, we need to question it. We need to ask why. We need to say, maybe, why is it not the same as before? Or why have I never felt like this? Or people say that, you know, they've changed, you know, they're a new creation, but I don't feel like that. Why? We need to ask these questions. These are really important questions in our life that we need to ask ourselves. And I really want to, you know, I really feel the Holy Spirit wants to get that through to us today and wants us to recognize His importance in our lives. My friends, He lives inside of you and He is with you. But if you don't recognize the Holy Spirit in your life, it's because He is tamed. He has been put out. And what I'm saying is, this same Holy Spirit that was in Genesis chapter 1 is the same Holy Spirit throughout the whole Bible, is the same Holy Spirit that was with the apostles, even the things that we don't see in the Word of God, because we know that many of the apostles, except John, were all killed for their faith. It's the same Holy Spirit that was in them. It's the same Holy Spirit that's been in the believers since then. It's the same Holy Spirit that is within us and in us and with us today. There's so much more about the Holy Spirit, but I want to get through these three main points today because I just feel that these are so vital. And really, we need these points before we move on to something else. So the first point, the paraclete, which means called to one's aid, the Holy Spirit is there for us to do the will of God. That is why we need the Holy Spirit, number one. And part of number one, we said our sanctification is by the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. If you want to become a new creation, if you want to see a change in your life, Holy Spirit has to be present. Number two, we said that our connection with God is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is invisible, we said, is rejected by the world, is in you, dwells in you, resides in you, and is with you. And the third thing, we said the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. I want to read a quick verse from Acts chapter 5. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to God, what does it say? What does Peter say? In verse 3 of chapter 5, I read from verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? To God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Do we get that? So if you don't recognize the Holy Spirit, who are you not recognizing? Thank you. I could finish right here and just, you know, wrap up and we could go. Because that is the most important thing for us to understand. To recognize the Holy Spirit is you're recognizing God. The third person of the Trinity, this Holy Spirit we're speaking about. The Spirit of the Lord that we see throughout the whole of the Old Testament, the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in you. I keep reiterating this because it is so important for us to know and acknowledge. So today, my friends, if you have grieved the Holy Spirit, if you have quenched the Holy Spirit, if you may have not recognized who this Holy Spirit is, then I invite you today to reconcile that relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is a very important thing. As I said to you, lives cannot be changed unless there is divine intervention, unless the Holy Spirit is intervening. Why? My friends, I can't change anyone. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. I don't have the might. I don't have the intellect. I don't have, even if I had all of that, I wouldn't have enough to change people. You cannot change anyone. Only the Holy Spirit can. What's funny is, you can't even change yourself. Seriously. You can't even change yourselves. The Holy Spirit is the one, as I said, who sanctifies you. The Holy Spirit is the one who is breathed on you to make you a new creation, to give you new life. It is through the Holy Spirit. We need to come to that recognition today, my friends. So brothers and sisters, I want to spend 5 minutes or so really just using this time to reconcile what we may have had before, maybe to something we have never had. I invite you to receive the Holy Spirit. I invite those who once felt heavy convictions but now don't, to receive those again. Those who have quenched the Spirit, those who have grieved the Spirit, I invite those today to reconcile that relationship. I want everyone who believes that the Holy Spirit is important in your life to raise your hands. If you believe, only if you believe. The reason I'm saying this is because I'm happy everyone's put their hand up. So we all know that we need the Holy Spirit. We all know that this is something that we can't, you know, take lightly. If you want the Holy Spirit to be more active than ever in your life, if you want to change, if you want people to change, it's time to make that declaration. Hallelujah. Lord God, we offer up praises and worship to you right now, giving you thanks, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit that you've sent down, for your Holy Spirit that has been sent down to us, that it may reside in us, that it may dwell in us, that it may be in us and with us, and that it may be in the atmosphere, it may be everywhere, the omnipresence of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for this, and we just pray right now in this moment. Father, we pray for those people right now, those who are standing and maybe those who know in their hearts who are not. Lord, we pray for them in this moment, that there may be a reconciliation of the Holy Spirit. There may be a reconciliation of a relationship with the Holy One. That there may be a reconciliation today. Lord, I pray for each person in this place right now. Those who haven't received the Spirit, I pray that they receive it in Jesus' name. I pray that the breath of God may come upon them. I pray that your breath may come upon them, Lord God, that they may receive new life. I pray today, Lord God, those who have quenched the Spirit, those who have grieved the Holy Spirit, I pray for forgiveness today. We repent, Lord God. We turn away. We say we turn away today. And we pray right now, Lord God, for a change in our lives. Lord, we can only change. We acknowledge that. We can only change through the Holy Spirit. So today we pray that your Holy Spirit activates itself within us more than ever. Hallelujah. Wow. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Jesus. My friends, the Bible makes it clear. It says, you do not belong to Christ if you don't have the Spirit of Christ. My friends, we belong to Him. We have been given the right to become the children of God. The children of God. The children of God, my friends. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever. Lord God, I pray that you just release right now, Lord God, your Spirit on each and every person, Lord. Lord God, I pray that lives will never be the same again. That as we walk out of this place, I pray you keep something stuck in our minds, in our hearts, Lord God, in our spirit, Lord God, of a change that is needed in our lives. Help us, Lord God. I pray that our recognition that we need you more, Lord God, may result in a change, may result in new life. Hallelujah. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.